Sync and two at like the same level.
It was great.
Hello, everyone.
No, you did not just womp womp us. First thing. That's crazy.
Welcome.
Hey! The kids are up.
Welcome.
Children, what? And adults.
And adults.
And elderly folks. We don't discriminate.
Elderly folks aren't adults.
Well, they are. But they get like benefits, they get discounts and stuff.
Okay.
Anyway, let's see. We have Courtney Freitas in the comments. She says, Fallon, I love you big. Joni says, hi. Chrissy says, hi, Fallon. Jennifer Lopez says, good day. Seth says, no more sauce questions.
But before we do that, you know, no more sauce questions.
I don't think this is a sauce. This is not a sauce.
Okay,
this is a dip.
Okay.
What's the difference between a sauce and a dip? Please put that in the comments as well. But continue.
So, I have hot wings, ruffled chips, right? A bag of that. And I have French onion dip, which they go great together.
They do, which but, I found those the other day. I've never seen, like, the hot wing ruffles before.
Yes. So, well, now I'm at the bottom of the bag where it's all kind of more of the crumbles.
Like one of the best parts of the chip eating experience.
But not when you have a dip.
That is true, because then you just get dip all over your fingers and you feel like a caveman.
So the question is, should I dump them into the rest of the dip and eat it like cereal?
I think you should, personally.
I'd have to do it fast before they get soggy, but I think that would be good if there's a decent ratio.
Yeah, the ratio is important, because if you mix it up and it's like
too much dip,
yeah, then you're just spoon-feeding French onion dip into your mouth, and it's weird.
Yeah.
Let's see. Andrew says, afternoon, William and Buddy. Afternoon, Andrew.
So now that we're not talking about sauce, because I don't... Yeah,
no,
says,
sauce
no, that's
done.
Gross.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Well, Fallon says, sauce you put on something, a dip
says,
you dip
please.
Something in.
What? You dip a dip in something?
No. You dip something,
in a dip.
Sauce you put over it. But
if,
Chick-fil-A
okay.
sauce
I was about to say, all of the
dip,
sauces
then.
Are meant to be dipped.
And we're back in the
we're
sauce
We're back in the sauce land. Okay.
Andrew says, is salsa a sauce? Is soup a sauce?
I have a
when you dip
that
your
was
bread
my
in
legit
it?
Question. Is soup, okay, not soup. Cereal. Okay, you have cereal in a bowl. You put milk in said cereal.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have cereal and milk inside of a bowl. Here's the bowl. Does that mixture of cereal and milk then become a soup, a sauce, or a broth?
None of the above.
How is it none of the above?
Because soup usually has brothy.
What defines soup? Yes, a soup contains a broth. So
milk is not a broth.
Milk is not in and of itself a broth, but once it becomes a part of the main, like, the whole in the bowl, then it becomes a broth, because it takes on some of the cereal aspects. If you put Cinnamon Toast Crunch and milk in a bowl, and then removed said Cinnamon Toast Crunch, you have thus made Cinnamon Toast Broth.
No, cinnamon milk.
Cinnamon milk?
Yeah.
No, it's
Did you know
cinnamon
you can
toast.
Buy, you can buy Cinnamon Toast Crunch milk.
Really? What?
Yeah.
That sounds amazing. Also, I need to get my jacket off of my mic. I'm just going to roll it.
But you can, like, I've seen it at, Like, I've seen it at, like, Sheetz or some gas stations. Like, really? They have, like, milk that has the Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Interesting.
Cinnamon seasoning on it.
Huh.
In it. Not on it. In it.
In it.
You can also buy the Cinnamon Toast Crunch seasoning.
Too. That is true. I do have a little thing of that.
Which I think is just cinnamon sugar, right?
Basically, yeah. But I make that myself. What is your guys' favorite milk to put in cereal? Do you put regular milk, chocolate milk, strawberry milk, almond milk, coconut milk, soy milk, wheat milk? Are there any other milks? Goat milk? There's so many different milks.
Well, okay, so, I mean, that is a decent question. What is the best kind of milk? And we all know it is 2%.
That's fair. I grew up on 2%. I never knew what the difference between 2% and whole milk was because I thought you were just getting legit 2% of the milk. Apparently, whole milk is only like 4% milk fat. 2% is just half of that. I never knew that until a while ago.
Whole milk is a lie.
Whole milk means you have all of the fat in it, which is typically around 4% of the actual milk content. Because they take out the curds and whey. And you know what you do with curds and whey? You give them to Little Miss Muffet. And she sits on her tuffet and eats them. And then a spider comes up beside her. And she gets scared away.
Wow.
Why are you zooming in on me? I'm not even talking. Andrew says regular milk. What is regular milk?
What is regular milk to you? Everybody has a regular milk.
All right, we got some smart people in the comments. George says 2%. J-Lo says 2%.
Amen.
Chrissy says no milk.
No milk, please. No milk.
What do you have with your cereal? I'm assuming...
You're 100% almond milk? That's okay. In my fridge, we do not have any milk that comes from an animal. It is all plant. All plant milks.
Almond milk.
We have almond milk, coconut milk. At one point, I think we had cashew milk.
How do you milk a cashew?
That's not important right now. What is important is what milk you guys like. Emily says she likes all milk. 2% skim, whole, oat, almond. I have found that, what is it? Is it hemp milk? It's the same kind of like milk that you make. They use it to make like ropes and stuff, the actual plant. It tastes like dirt. And I don't remember where I got it. It was in like coffee or something. Not very good.
Are you sure you weren't just tasting the coffee?
No, the coffee was great. The coffee was wonderful.
Coffee itself is like dirt.
Yeah, because somebody else I was with got coffee from that place too, and they did not have the same milk that I had, and it was better.
Okay. Anyway, Andrew says whole milk. Kevin says not whole milk or raw milk.
Andrew says white milk.
If you,
you asked him what regular milk is, and he said white milk.
Okay.
Yeah. I love the way you think.
Mm-hmm. Cordy says skim milk is good too.
Skim milk, I think, is a lie. I think that's bad, just in general, because it's not milk.
It's like the LaCroix of milk.
It is. It's like if you took water and put it in a milk carton and said, hey, put this in your cereal. If you think about it hard enough, it'll taste like milk.
There was milk in the carton before.
Yes.
So it's like watered down.
LaCroix is such a weird thing. I had to figure out what word to use there. LaCroix is weird. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Do you guys like LaCroix? Have you ever put LaCroix in a cereal? Let's see.
Priscilla said powdered milk.
My mom says I am quite chill with my feet up. Yes, in fact I am. Emily says I used to drink milk with everything as a kid. Chocolate milk is still the drink of champions to me.
Okay. Have you ever had, and the children agree.
And the children agree.
Have you ever had powdered milk?
I have not, but I have considered a interesting drink choice that I want to try at some point. You put powdered milk in actual milk, and then you put powdered coffee, like instant coffee, into coffee. You mix the milk plus with the coffee plus, and then you create the ultra coffee. I don't know what it would do to my intestinal system and how that would affect any, you know, part of me. But I really do want to try it because it seems interesting. And with that, we have our 100th comment of the day.
How? How did we get to 100 comments
in
this conversation?
I really don't know.
Emily Denton, congratulations with your interesting comment of, I love LaCroix.
LaCroix.
You can claim your gift at whatsright.com/gift.
Yeah, you can.
Serena says, LaCroix, thumbs down.
LaCroix.
Pastor John says, make yourself comfortable, William.
I thought about this before I got on because I legit do not like having my feet up on places that people would have their stuff. So I have it on my calf. My feet are not actually over the table. It's a trick of the camera.
Okay.
Yeah.
Seth says, coffee's final form.
Yes.
LOL. Andrew says, LOL. Why can't we talk? It's gone.
And it's
gone. The comment went away. I'm sorry. Everyone's commenting about LaCroix.
LaCroix.
So Kevin says La Croix is La Croix is conjectured milk.
Is conjectured milk? How do you conjecture milk?
I don't know. He says he makes himself laugh. I don't get the joke. That
I don't
joke
get it either, but I'm glad that it brought you joy.
So sophisticated, it went over my unsophisticated brain. Fallon says, people use to order milkshakes with skim milk, and the ice cream shop I worked at, it's an uncomfortably thin liquid for it to be milk.
Yes.
That took me a while to get through.
It's okay. You did great. You've been working on your phonics.
Yeah. Did anyone ever do Hooked on Phonics when they were younger?
I never did.
The whole, it was massive. It was like this big, and it had a bunch of cassette tapes in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I never did that. Yeah. It was like, what, explain Hooked on Phonics to me.
Basically, it taught you phonics.
Interesting. I just had a second grade teacher that would be very unhappy if you didn't say it right. Yeah. Anyway.
So, Abby said, all right, in the comments, La Croix, yes or no? Abby says La Croix is okay. Because it's okay.
Mm.
J Lo says limoncello La Croix.
Limoncello.
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 La Croix is good, Emily.
Interesting.
I don't even know what that means. Like I'm gonna be honest, like I've only had La Croix once. And I tried to chug it. It was a big mistake. All right, Pastor John says, it is considered very rude to show the bottom of your feet to people in other cultures.
Good to know. Very good to know. Elizabeth Swearingen says, worked for me. I don't know what worked for her, but I'm glad that it did.
Arabelle says, La Croix is a no.
La Croix?
La Croix. I'm just going to say it like that for the rest of the time. Seth says, no, I spoke Southern. I'm sure I missed the first comment,
okay,
but that's in reference to. Chrissy says, what is that? It is like.
Oh, yeah. It's.
You make. It's a. What is it? A
sparkling water?
Sparkling water. Yeah. Flavored sparkling water.
Yeah, flavored is a. That's a choice of word.
Yeah, it's hinted sparkling water.
Yeah.
So basically, it's like, let's say you get lemon LaCroix, and it was made in a factory that also has lemons in it.
Yeah.
Right? That's kind of how it tastes, because the hint is like hint of lime.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like you sip sparkling water as you drive past a field of tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they have tomato La Croix. Yeah, that would probably have, you know.
Anyway,
with that being said, oh my gosh, we have like 40 people on. That's cool.
Well, glad to have you guys.
Amen.
Here.
It's good to see all you guys.
We are going to do a quick time of declarations before we jump into the word today. We got a great word for you today.
Yeah, we do. It's
talking about
really good.
How to receive everything God has for you in the receiving line. It's going to be powerful. But before we jump into the word, we'll see you in just a second for declarations.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to our lovely fun time of declarations, where we take a few minutes out of our day to talk about and declare the word of God. So your words have power, so say these with me as we say them. Also, we have the scriptures at the bottom, so you can know where we're referencing, so you guys can go and you can actually look at them. So if we would like to put the first one up of the day, every weapon formed against us is exposed, will not prosper, and is destroyed. And the next one, this is our year of the fire. And I think is that the last one? It is. Anyways, so make sure you guys like, share, subscribe. Let everybody know that we're live right now, because this is an on-time word. Pastor told us on Sunday about this, and I'm so excited to hear it. So make sure you stick around as we move on to the word.
Thank you.
Hey guys, welcome to What's the Word Lunch Plus. We love you so much. Who are you? Where are you watching from? Let us know. Who are you? This seems like a philosophical question. Like, who are you? If you want to answer that in the comments, that's fine too. Just don't get weird. All right. We love you. So glad to have you. Where are you watching from? Seth says he's in the office. Courtney Freitas says, oh, she took away the Freitas to help us. Hello from Havelock. Hello, we love you. Tabitha says, hello from Albemarle. Elizabeth, hello from Evansville. Lisa says, hello from Indy. If there's anybody above Lisa, I can't read them. So we welcome you too. Andrew says, hello from home. Samantha says, hi from here. Serena, hi, watch from work. Lee McRae, hello from the road currently in Wadesboro. Andrew says, good afternoon, Pastor Brian. Good afternoon, Andrew. Love you, buddy. And let's see, Fallon says, hello from work. Hello, work. Buddy says, child of the king, watching from here. I like that you answered the question. Priscilla says, it's me, Priscilla, in the studio to my right. Boop, ding, right over there. And oh my goodness, it jumped up. Hello from Troy, Mark Presley says. Jake says, hi, I am Jake, watching from New Hampshire. I thought he was going to say, I am Groot. Jennifer says, just don't get weird, laugh out loud. My goodness, y'all are putting in so many comments so fast, I can't. Awesome. Dylan says, I am Dylan, son of Philip from Charlotte. Sweet. What a great answer. Kevin Redeem says, hola, from the house of Taylor, Kevin Nowicki. But he said it in Spanish. Hola, para casa de Taylor, Kevin Nowicki. All right. Seth says, I'm Seth Faulkner, agent 006 and a half. Deb says, I'm Deb Aldridge and a child of God. See, now y'all have caught on. You've got it now. George says, hello from my living room, Robin Powers. Hey from Denton. Hey, Robin. Sherry says, hi from my studio. Hello. Natalie, hello from Salisbury. Doug George, the Georges are watching. Awesome. That is a little intimidating. It's like, the Georges are watching. All right. Corey Johnson says, hey, guys. Dean says, Rock Hill. Hey, Mr. Dean. I heard good testimony about you yesterday. And Lewis Jones says, what's up, y'all? Listening while working. Hello, sir. Love you. And good to see you. And let's see. Buddy says, I am Glenn, son of Glenn, son of Glenn, son. Okay. Was there a lot? You really, your dad and your grandfather and everybody, they all were named Glenn? Really? You're the third? I don't think I really realized that. Yeah. I guess I did know the third part, but I hadn't put that together. Okay. Andrew, I thought you were son of Gary Dillon. William, I am William, son of William, son of William, son of William, son of George. Wow. I knew you were a fourth. I did know that one. William Aldridge, that'd be third of your name, laugh out loud. You guys, y'all have so much personality. I love you guys. Amen. So good to see you and welcome. Today we're talking about how to receive in the prayer time. How do you receive everything that God has for you when you go up for prayer? I will tell you, this relates to other places besides the prayer line, but this is one of the places where you really can learn how to receive, and it's a lot of the places where people will actually put this into practice. So how do we receive in the prayer line? And how do we just receive well in general? There's some good attributes here to learn. So these are things that you see in the Word of God, but you also see this, and you can put in, if you actually have an example of this from the Bible, put in examples of this. You can say, oh yeah, when David did this, when Moses did this, right? Put those in, when Peter did this part. Put those examples in, let us see them. And then one of the things that you'll see is that these are things that I learned not only by going into the Word of God, but then applying them and listening to my leaders and listening to spiritual fathers and paying attention to what they said and things that they learned through the Word of God themselves that I learned through experience by watching them and seeing what they were saying in the Word. And so I want you to see these things and I want you to understand them because I want more people to receive everything that God has for them. And so let me give you a story that happened first. So I was on a trip and I was coming back from the trip and flying into Charlotte. I was supposed to go and do a meeting that night as soon as I got back into Charlotte to do a meeting at a ministry, and they invited me. It was a high honor to go and minister to this group of people. They've been going after the Lord for quite some time. They were very versed in the Word of God. And I went in, but what was interesting, when I was praying about that meeting, I saw just a Holy Ghost explosion in that meeting. I mean, I saw the power of God flow into that meeting in a way that I had rarely seen, and I'd not really seen it in my ministry before. And so when I saw this, I had a vision of it. It was very real, very powerful. I knew what God wanted to do. Well, what made it even more interesting was Barrett was actually praying about that meeting as well. And if you don't know Barrett, she's a lady here in our ministry that now at this time oversees our prayer ministry. At that time, it might have just been starting, I think. And anyway, when she prayed about the meeting, she came to me super excited, and she explained to me exactly the same thing that I had seen in my vision. She said, "I saw it, Pastor. This happens, and this happens, this happens." I said, "That's exactly what the Lord showed me too." So now we had two witnesses of what God wanted to do. And so we were like, "Praise God, this is awesome." And I came back into town, flew in, went to the meeting, started ministering that meeting, and we had a good meeting, but we didn't have a great meeting. It wasn't what we saw. A lot of people would have said it was a great meeting, and it was good, but it wasn't what we saw. It wasn't what we saw that the Lord showed us. And I was really disappointed because I thought, man, I really thought we were going to have a blowout here. What happened? What in the world is this? What's going on? And the Lord showed me this, and I want you to see this because these were not unbelievers. These were not novices in the things of God. But why did they not receive the way that they were supposed to? Why did it not end up the way that it was supposed to end up? And the issue was that most everybody in here actually worshiped the knowledge of the Word instead of the Word itself. They actually were in love with what they knew, and they weren't very good at flowing with the Holy Ghost. They had knowledge, they had facts about the Bible, they knew some truth about the Bible, but flowing with it, they weren't good, and they did not receive the way that God actually wanted to pour out on them. Now, I've had other meetings where this has happened many times, but in this meeting, it happened well. It was a good meeting, but not what we saw. And I said, "Lord, what's going on?" He said, "They actually don't know how to receive." And that got me looking at that a lot stronger after that meeting, because I never wanted to have anybody that was in the meetings that didn't receive. So I wanted to teach on that. And that's why we're teaching on it today. So I want us to look at this and ask some questions. I want to ask this. Why do we need to come to Jesus in the first place? I'm not talking about being born again. I'm talking about why do we need to come up to the prayer line and receive prayer? And ultimately, what we're doing is we're submitting to God's way of coming before the elders and allowing the anointing of God to break things loose in our life. Think about it this way. Let me say this. We're coming up to the prayer line because we need help that we cannot produce on our own. In other words, we need help that we can't generate ourselves. There's help that we need that only God can give, okay? So a lot of times, yeah, Buddy says the doctrine of laying on of hands. A lot of times what we'll see is that people will say, "Well, I want help from God." I've seen this as a pastor so many times. "I want help from God, but I want it to come this way." Well, here's the thing. If you knew what to do, you wouldn't need the help, would you? Right? If you knew what you needed and you had all the wisdom and knowledge that you needed, you wouldn't need to come up for prayer, would you? Right? So the issue is that we don't know everything that we need to know. We don't have everything that we need to have. We don't possess the help that we're coming for. Now, this sounds simple, but this is a major, major point, because a lot of people say, you know, for example, well, I want the preacher to not lay hands on me. Well, I want the preacher to lay hands on me. Well, I'm going to stand here and I'm not going to fall, right? I want him to talk in a known language. I want him to talk in tongues. And so we have all of these parameters of what we think that should go by. But understand this, it's not the Lord who needs our help or our wisdom. It's us who needs his help and his wisdom, if that makes sense. So what we want to do is we want to know that first. We want to focus on that first. So let me just give you a really quick thing of that. You are coming up here, and I wrote this down. So the prayer line is not a place where we come to give. The only thing that we're giving in that moment is our submission and our faith, you know, lining up with God. But besides that, we're not coming to give something, right? The prayer line is a place where we need to receive. So get that in. Put that in the comments right now. Say it out loud. The prayer line is the place where we need to receive. It's not the place for me to give. It's the place for me to receive. So have you ever noticed when you're watching other people in prayer line, you'll come up there and they'll just start telling the minister everything that they need? God doesn't, he knows what you need. He knows exactly what you need. The name of Jesus will cover that, actually. It'll cover all of it. Now, we do have a prayer of agreement, but that's when you have two people that are coming into an agreement on prayer. Let the minister guide that, not you guide the Holy Ghost in the minister, right? And this is one of the things, is many times when people come up to the prayer line, they try to take over. And the issue is they're trying to give what they think God needs, and their whole posture and their whole approach to the prayer line is that I'm actually giving. They're not receiving, they're giving. And because of that, their whole posture is set against an inflow. It's not actually ready to receive. It's only prepared for an outflow. And they don't realize it, but they're actually fighting against the power of God coming into their life and helping them. And it's subtle and it's slight, but their whole posture is they're coming up to give instead of coming up to receive. But when we come up to a prayer line, when we're coming to a man or woman of God, when we're coming to receive anything of God, our posture should be open so that the things that we need can come into us, that we can receive. We should be yielded and ready to receive, not pushing out and ready to give. So that, again, I say that's simple, but if you think about this, there are many things that we're even thinking about. Many times when people are coming up for prayer, they're thinking about how they need to get their faith right. Well, what is that focused on, receiving or giving? They're mentally trying to pay the price of faith, and now they're in give mode. And as long as they're in give mode, they're not in reception mode. So many times I've told people over the years, is I've said, listen, the Lord gave me this picture to help people out. Act like I'm, you know, a parent at the grocery store. I know where we got to go to get the stuff off of the shelves of God. Just jump in the shopping cart and let me push you. Just go with me. Don't fight me. Don't pull back. Don't try to, you know, push the cart where you think it needs to go. Just jump in the cart and let me go along with me. Let me push you, right? Let me take you to those places. This is my job. This is what I'm called to do. I know how to get it to you. But if you're fighting me on that, even mentally, you're kind of trying to give or give your opinion or something. You know, if somebody comes up and they say, Pastor, let me tell you what's going on. I'll say, I've learned now, used to, as a young minister, I'd listen to that. And 10 minutes later, There's 100 people waiting for prayer. 10 minutes later, they finish telling me the story of the problem. Here's the thing. Your problem's not bigger than Jesus. All I need to know is the name of Jesus and his goodwill towards you and some promises towards you. Just say, I need healing. I need breakthrough. I need finances. You know, I need peace. Whatever. That's all you got to tell me. I know how to deliver it. God knows how to deliver it. The details of how you got in that place are irrelevant to you receiving that unless you make them relevant. In other words, if you make those details really big, then that's going to be so big to you that you can't receive. So you've got to get over thinking that your problem is some big thing. It's not big to God. It's small. It's very light. It's temporal. It's temporary. It's light. So momentary and light affliction is how the Bible actually talks about it. So if you think about that, this is a posture that's saying, this is a big problem. Well, now you've made yourself and put yourself in a posture of giving that information, and it's going to be hard for me to receive. I need special prayer, right? I need something special to break through this. No, all you need is what you already have that's special, the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is special. That's the most special that you can get. That's the most special that you can get is the prayer of faith based on the authority of the name of Jesus. And so one of the things that you see is that many times people have the wrong posture. So they're thinking about things, they're telling what needs to happen to the minister and therefore to God. And another thing is they'll come up and they'll be praying in tongues, right? Well, if you're praying in tongues, are you receiving or are you giving? Are you receiving or are you giving? And here's the interesting thing. Remember the story that I told you about where I came in and did that meeting. Every one of the people there were praying in tongues. They were praying in their private, in their personal language, in tongues. And I even told them multiple times, stop praying in the Spirit and receive. But they couldn't do it. They were in such a habit of it. And even after I told them that two or three times out loud to the whole group, every person I prayed for was praying in tongues. They were all in giving mode. They weren't in receiving mode. And because of that, I could not deliver what I came there to deliver. And their thought is, well, I'm helping this. And they're feeling the Spirit. But remember, the Spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. And so you have the ability to say, man, I feel a move of the Spirit. But see, they were mature in many things of the Word, but they weren't mature in the flow of the Spirit, which is totally different. They were mature in some things of the Spirit, but not the flow of the Spirit. They didn't realize that I don't need to be praying right now, I need to be receiving. And see, what they're actually doing is they're usurping that authority that I had to deliver. They're saying, I need to pray along with you, which put them saying, I got the help that I need. Now they're outside of the posture of receiving, and they couldn't receive. This is where many people are. And so I'll tell people, no, just stop praying. Don't pray, just receive. Well, see, now think about this. Think about this. If they don't know before then to not pray, as soon as I say don't pray, they're going to be like, I've always prayed. Now their brain's going like this. And they're thinking, no, I need to pray. And why is he telling me that? And now they're not in reception mode at all. They're trying to crank out, why did he tell me that? What, you know, and they actually will not be in a position to receive unless they're very, very mature. So it's better to learn these things ahead of time so that you're ready to receive in this way. So many times people will do that. Now, there is one prayer I believe where you should pray in tongues, and that is when you're being baptized in the Holy Ghost. And we have a biblical example of that. But that is a sign that they have received what we prayed for. In other words, they don't need to help me pray ahead of time. But once the Holy Ghost enters them, then they need to release that flow. But that's the only time. Every other time, they need to just receive. They don't need to say, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do anything but just receive. Lord, I receive. And the one thing that I'll tell people to say is say this, I receive it now. I have it. It's working in me. But that's after I prayed. And what they're saying, they're confessing with their faith, everything that was just prayed for, I have received it now. So they're speaking this, this is biblical in that way. I receive this now. And so many times there's these little elements, and I'm going to talk about some of these elements as we continue here. So think about this. When we're in the prayer line, what are we basically receiving? I'm going to give you just generalities, okay? We're receiving the anointing. We're receiving the anointing. What is the anointing? The anointing is the power of God that breaks and destroys every yoke. The anointing brings wisdom. The anointing brings healing. The anointing brings freedom, whatever it is. So we're receiving the anointing. Can you or I generate the anointing on our own, or do we need to flow with God with it? We need to flow with God with those things. But it's of God. It's a help that we cannot produce on our own. The anointing is not something we can produce on our own. Now, we can flow with it, and it is available to us, but it's not something, if I'm coming up to a prayer line, I'm not coming up to bring my own flow of the anointing. I'm coming up to receive the flow of the anointing. So that's different. Now, when you leave the prayer line, you can take that anointing to other people. You can then give that anointing out. But if you're in the position to come up to a prayer line, that position is not to give out your anointing. That position is to receive the anointing. And so this is something that people get wrong, and especially ministers, because they're so used to releasing the anointing that they get around and the anointing's flowing. And this area right here, I think, is one that people get confused and they don't know what to do with. They feel the anointing flowing. They see the things happening. And they're so used to like praising and worshiping God, they go into give mode. But you have to recognize, again, spirit of the prophet, subject to the prophet. In a service, there's times to give and there's times to receive. I remind you of what the Apostle Paul wrote by the Holy Ghost. Now concerning giving and receiving. In the service, there's times to give, praise, worship, tongues, right? Thanksgiving, there's time to give that, to give attention, to give your faith. But there's also times to receive. Lord, I receive right now. So a lot of people have in their idea that church is either all receiving, or other people have it in their head that it's all giving, right? It's all giving. But it's both, because those things you can't separate. They go hand in hand. In every service, you should have both receiving and giving, and receiving and giving, and receiving. This should happen. And at different moments, you are in the posture of giving, and other moments you're in the posture of receiving. When you come up for prayer, or somebody comes to your house to pray for you, this is the posture of receiving. So I've watched this. Let me show you something, an example of this. What do you think about this? What's your thoughts on this? When I go, somebody needs prayer, and they're trying to break through something, and so I go with the authority of a pastor to go and pray for them, and I'm finished praying. I release the power of God, and the power of God is evident. It's released into them, and then they say, hey, before you go, Pastor, can we pray for you? What do you think about that? Now, I know that you can't answer me necessarily in live, but I know that you'll probably put it in the comments. But now think about this. What you just said is, I also have a blessing for you. And the Bible talks about this. It says, the lesser is blessed by the greater. So the moment that somebody's thought goes to, now I need to pray about for you, they put themselves at the very least on an equal foot with that person. Now watch, which means if the lesser, the lower status or lower role is blessed by the greater, and I came to bless that person through the authority that I have over their life, but then they say, now, Pastor, let me pray for you. Well, at the very least in their head, they're thinking, I can bless you too, but now watch. But what they're really saying is, I have the authority to pray for you. I'm over you. Now, what did that do to the prayer that they just received? See, what they did is they just basically rejected everything that I said because they said, hey, I'm greater than you are. I can bless you or I'm equal with you. In other words, your prayer is no different than my prayer. Okay, then why am I here praying? Okay, why am I here in the first place? It was a waste of time. So there's a lot of times, and you'll see this at some churches, they're like, we don't have a leader here. And they'll come up and they'll say, hey, we've got this special guest coming in, this great evangelist and everything. Everybody gather around him and let's pray for him and send him on his way. Listen, what they're doing, they don't realize it. They are nixing and canceling out all of the anointing and the blessing that they just received in that ministry or were going to receive because they're seeing that everybody's equal in the kingdom of God. It doesn't work that way. Now watch this. Subconsciously, they enter into the place. Subconsciously, they enter into the place where they actually are on the same level. It's not any more help than what they already have. And so they are positioning themselves subconsciously to not be able to receive. So this is a dangerous thing. Now, then you could ask, well, doesn't every joint supply? Absolutely. You can pray, I want you praying for me. I want you lifting me up. I want you praying in the Holy Ghost. And because we're partners, you'll see things and have an ability to pray. But there's a difference when you're coming and you're laying hands on a leader. It's a difference when you're releasing that anointing or subconsciously seeing yourself. Here's why a lot of people do that, and they don't realize this. Many people are doing that because they felt like, I need help. I know I need help. This person's coming to help me. But in that moment, their flesh is actually going, I don't like being the lower person. Let me prove that I have power too. Let me prove that I carry some anointing and gifting too. And they don't realize it, that it's actually, now watch, it's their flesh rising up in pride to prove I don't need help. I could do this myself. Well, if that was the case, why am I here in the first place? And if you truly believe that, I don't need to come and help and pray. You've already got what you need. So you can see that. Now watch, and one of the things we're going to point out is everything, I ask the question, what do we receive? We receive basically the anointing, the glory, all the goodness of God, and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. So these are generalities, but these are three things. We're in the prayer line, we're receiving the anointing, His glory, we're receiving the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gift of faith, gift of miracles, right? Working of miracles. These are all the ministry of the Holy Spirit from God. And when we're receiving in a prayer line, it's all about a flow, all right? So when we're moving in the Spirit, it's about a flow. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and this is a flow. But now we know from Scripture that our corrupted flesh always wars against the Spirit. So if when we come up for a prayer line to receive from the Holy Spirit, but we're operating in any form of the flesh, that becomes a buffer to that flow and stops the reception from being full. So if I'm sitting there, like I said, I go to pray for somebody and then they're like, you know, subconsciously they're thinking, well, I'm gifted too and I'm anointed too. Let me not let this person of God go away without thinking that I'm anointed myself, right? See, this is a lack of humility. That you're operating in the flesh, you actually have now the flesh warring against the flow of the Spirit that was there to heal you. And watch this. Many people will totally cancel out the flow of the anointing and what the anointing that was just deposited in them. They'll cancel it by moving into a fleshly place like this. So And Elizabeth, she goes, ugh, I have definitely done this. I think everybody pretty much has on some level. So can you see that what we need is we need that flow of the Spirit to be constant and uninterrupted and to make sure that those things are, no fleshly things get in the way. So when we come up for prayer, it's a place of humility. It's a place of yielding. It's not, I'm coming to give. Now, again, look at that same prayer. If I go to somebody, then they're like, okay, Pastor, let me pray for you. They instantly go from receiving straight into giving, and a lot of times they just never fully received. They were probably thinking during most of the prayer, as soon as he's done, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for him, and he's going to feel the power of God coming off of me. How do I know those thoughts? Because I've done that. I did that. I had to learn not to do that. All right. Now, let me give you these things, and you can put them in the comments, and if you have other ones, that's fine. And I know we may have some questions and comments that we'll have somebody read here in a moment, but I haven't been able to read them while I'm speaking. But listen to this. So, seeing that the corrupted flesh always wars against the flow of the Spirit, we must remove all operations of the corrupted flesh in order to receive the fullness at that prayer time and in that prayer line. So here's like six things that I wrote down to pay attention to and to get better at, and here they are. Number one, yield. It's yielding to the Lord is everything in receiving. There has to be a flow. Think about this. If you had a water of life, and if you think about it, without water, a civilization dies, right? You got to have the flow of water. You got to have water to live. So just using that as a spiritual example, if the water's cut off, I die. I have to have a flow. We just did teaching a couple weeks ago on the flow of God and staying in the flow. It is so key. And one of the keys to flow was yielding. If in that water line I got a block and I have the valve turned off, right, then I'm going to cut off my supply. And it's the same thing when you come in the prayer line. Many times when people say, well, I didn't receive in that prayer line, it wasn't that it wasn't available. It's just like Nazareth. The power was available. Their heart was hardened. They had cut off the flow. They had stopped the flow. I had a pastor that was in danger, in a life and death situation. And it was serious. And we're seeing miracles, and many people know about that. And so I'm in this group, and they asked for me to come and pray for this pastor. And they said, Pastor Brian, I think you're supposed to pray for him. I was like, oh, great. None of y'all want to step up to the plate, huh? And so I was like, nice. I was like, I'm fine with it. Sure, I'll release it. Now, the issue is that this pastor, as far as I know, was a denominational pastor in terms of faith and seeing miracles. I don't know if they ever saw anything. So I know going into it that they probably don't have the revelation of how to receive this, but I'm going to pray in faith. I was just asked to pray in faith. The pastor yielded to that, and I went in and I prayed. I'm telling you, when I prayed, I felt the power of God flow through me and into his body. Now, here's one thing I've learned in ministry. If I sense the Holy Ghost on something, and it's a true sense of that, it works. Like, it worked. I have no doubts. And I know this. This is something I've learned. This is how we've seen power of God. If I pray the prayer of faith, it will heal the sick. That's just all that. It will heal the sick. In other words, the anointing will be released and the healing will come into their body. Now, watch. Now, what they do with it after that is up to them. So, as a minister, I got to the place where it's like, I'm going to bring you the anointing. I'm going to bring that gift of healing, the working of miracles. I'm going to bring the flow of the Holy Ghost to you, and I will deliver it to you. Now, I need to stay in a place, in a prepared place, to flow in that way. but that's my job. But what you do with it after that is up to you. And so it's like sometimes I'll feel it tangibly and sometimes I won't. That doesn't mean that it's working or it's not working. What means if it's working or not working is if I release my faith into that person or not. If I pray the prayer of faith based on the Word of God, it's working. How do I know that? Because that's what the Bible says. Because the Bible says so. It says when you release that prayer of faith will heal the sick. That's all I need to know, right? So I release my faith and I release that anointing of God to break it. So I know that it goes into there, regardless of what I feel, regardless of what I see, the healing was deposited. All right, now watch. So in this day, though, however, not only did I know it by faith, I felt it. I felt the power of God enter into his body. I went, wow. I was like, you just received the anointing, right? But here's the thing. He goes on, he goes in, goes to the doctor, and the healing never manifests in him. And came back some months later, and he said, Pastor Brian, yeah, your prayer didn't work. And I went, and I said, oh, really? And that's all I said. That's all I said. I'm like, here's the thing. No, I know my prayer worked. Now, what you did with it afterwards, because people can receive the power of God, but then cancel it because they're not yielded to that power afterwards. You know, for example, one time I went to pray at the hospital, and I prayed for this person to be healed. I said, would you like for me to pray for him? They said, yes. And this whole family, they're all in there kind of mourning and everything. Would you like for me to pray for them? Yes. I prayed for them, said amen. They said, thank you, Pastor. Those are not people that went to our church. Thank you, Pastor. Before I could, I was 4 feet from the door. Before I could turn and get out the door, they were planning the funeral. And I mean, they were saying, well, what are we going to do now when she passes? Well, what in the world did I pray for? If that's what you were going to do, why'd you even ask for prayer, right? That why'd you ask for prayer for the person? You already have it set in your mind. She's dying, or this person's dying. Why are we? So that prayer, that power can be available and even released, but a lack of yielding can put the stops to it and change and turn it off right there. In order to receive in the prayer line, we have to get into the flow of the Holy Ghost, and we have to yield. The second thing I wrote down was yield quickly. Because a lot of times, have you ever been there and you're like, I watch this at our own church and ministry many times. Hey, if you need the power of God, come up now. And then people trickle up for the next 15 minutes. Like, don't trickle up. Don't do that. If you need to move, go now. Now, if you've got like ushers, okay, I'm helping catch, and then I'm going to get prayer at the end of it. That's understandable. Or you're coming from, you know, a volunteer position to come, and you had to let somebody take your place, get prayer, come back and relieve you. That's fine. But if you're not in a scenario like that, yield quickly. Yield quickly. So if I tell you to lift your hands, lift your hands. Yeah. If I tell you to close your eyes, you know. If I tell you to look up, look up. That person that's leading that ministry has the authority, and they're seeing things, they should be at least, seeing things in the Spirit on how this needs to go. What they're doing is they're following the flow of the Holy Ghost. So if I say, everybody lift one hand, well, if somebody says, if I'm in a meeting and somebody says, everybody lift one hand, I'm not lifting two. I'm lifting one. I'm yielding, and I'm yielding quickly because there's a flow of the Holy Ghost. You'll see like Brother Tracy do it, I'll do it, and I understand it. I get it totally. Is I'll see something in the Spirit, and I'll say, I saw myself, like, I take this guy, I got my hand on his chest and a hand on his back. And it's my left hand on his chest and my right hand on his back. Okay, that's how I'm going to pray for him. For some reason, I'm supposed to pray that way. It's not flipped around with my right hand on his chest. I'm going to make sure that I yield and yield quickly. Great point. Buddy said, go dip in the Jordan when he was talking to Naaman. Go dip in the Jordan 7 times. And it wasn't the river back home, it was the Jordan. And it wasn't 6 times, it wasn't 8 times, it was 7 times. Yield and yield quickly. Get good at yielding. at receiving. I watch this. So this comes into play like when you get correction. Many times when people get correction, they're like, okay, yeah, but, and what are they doing? They're not receiving the correction. They're instantly putting up a fight for that, right? And even, and you can pose it, if you're good at this socially and manipulative, you can pose it like, okay, I received that, but let me ask you a question about this. And what you're really doing is you're actually still not yielding to it. You're not fighting. Now, you can have a question. Your heart is the thing that determines this. These are things that we want to work on and get better at, the yielding of yielding to the Holy Ghost. So the first thing I said was yield. The second thing is yield quickly. The third thing is believe the messenger. We did a teaching a few months ago on believing the messenger. There's actually biblically a place where you have to believe that God has sent this person. And this person is speaking for God, and you're believing in this person that God has sent. There's actually biblical precedent there. So many times people come up, but they're not believing that this person is a part of my connection today in this prayer line. They're just focused on God, but they're not putting any faith in this person to deliver it. And what they're doing is they're actually not yielding to the authority that God has given that person to do that, right? I've seen it when I was in my younger years where I didn't have the faith really in operation like I have today, but I had authority in a meeting. And that just that simple authority in a meeting allowed the mercy of God to flow to that person, even though I didn't fully know what I was doing. But the authority was there. So you want to yield and believe in the messenger as well. Again, this is a time to receive and not a time to give. When you come up in the prayer line, this is not a time for you to give the whole backstory. It's not, and the biggest one to me is, it's not time for you to pray in tongues. You're giving when you pray in tongues. You've got to receive. You've got to get in that yielded flow of reception and let that receiving be there. All right? The next thing is be in expectation to receive big, right? When I go up, for example, some people when they go up to a prayer line, they just think, okay, here's pastor praying for me again. No, no, no. That is not all that's happening there. No. Pastor, under the authority of God Almighty, is called to release an anointing today into your life, an anointing so strong, nothing in your life can stand against it except for unbelief, right? That's the only thing. If you'll allow it, it will knock down everything. Power from God Himself, all the glory of God. That's what your pastor is carrying. That's what that minister is carrying in that moment. And when I go up there, it's not just another prayer. No, I'm about to receive something big. This goes into, do I fall or not? This goes into, how do I fall down or not? And I believe I may teach on that tomorrow. We'll see. But this, we need to be in a big expectation that God's about to do something massive. And the last thing is, don't cover up the work of the Holy Spirit or conviction. Now, this is one that I think many people might not like, but you need to learn how to do this. Have you ever noticed as soon as joy comes on people, what's the first thing that people do when joy hits them? Huh? Put it in the comments. What's the first thing they do? The first thing they do, as soon as the joy, they go, and they cover up their mouth, right? All right, now watch. As soon as they do this, they restrict the flow of the yielding to the Holy Ghost. Why? Who's causing the joy to come? God is. Does He know that it's going to make you look joyous and you're going to start laughing and you're going to look silly with it? Doesn't He know that? And yet, He did it anyway. So a lot of times people will try to cover up. And they'll have some shame, and or they're crying. Like if they're crying, you know, just big time crying, the first thing they do is they try to cover up. That's actually coming from a corrupted flesh's thinking of shame and condemnation and not righteousness. When you're in righteousness, you don't care what the Lord makes you look like. I don't care. I'm not covering up. I'm not hiding. I want the flow of everything that God has for me. I want everything to be in that place. Amen. And this is so when the Holy Ghost convicts you, don't cover that up. When he gives you joy, don't cover that up. No, learn how to flow with it. Learn how to make it yours. Learn how to allow. And you'll notice, have you ever watched a minister that actually is not concerned about protecting like every part of his dignity and every part of his name, but he'll tell you the stuff that he did wrong, and when he gets hit by the Holy Ghost, he doesn't care how he looks, you know? Have you ever seen that picture of Ted Shuttlesworth Jr. when he got laid out by the Holy Ghost and he's out there, he's on underneath the chair, his legs are out like this, and he's laid out wide like that. What is that? That is yieldedness to the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, you know what you did to me. I'm not trying to cover it up in any way. So these are six areas to get good at to receive well in the prayer line. Yield quickly, believe the messenger, receive, don't give, be in big expectation, and don't cover up the work of the Holy Spirit or conviction. Amen. So I know that we probably have some comments and some questions, and so we're going to, William, go ahead and ask us those. We're switching over to them in just a second. Has this been a blessing to you? Have you received? I saw Miss Nancy. She said, thanks for the excellent teaching. That's awesome. I think she needed to go to y'all's Hope City's broadcast. So, all right. William?
Okay. So Miss Nancy asks, so you're talking about specifically these things happening when in a prayer line or also when a pastor comes to pray for you. I think she was talking about in an instance where you would be out in the congregation and the pastor would come and lay hands on you specifically.
Yeah, it could be there any time that you're in. You should be in reception mode. We're just using the prayer line as a place where a number of people generally will see these things. But if pastor comes out in the congregation, it's that same way there. If a pastor came to your house or was on the job site or if somebody was praying and it's time for you to receive, these apply in those places. So, yep, good one.
Awesome. Hannah asked, she said, is it okay to pray in tongues while we're just waiting to receive prayer at the altar?
Good question. Yes and no. You can worship him and you can pray. There is a place, I think, ultimately, you just need to be led in that moment. But when it comes time for you to receive and that minister steps in front of you, the answer is no. But here's the thing. Many times people are actually, they're in tongues praying and they're actually in giving mode. And they may be quiet when the minister steps in front of them, but their brain is still in active gear of giving. And so if that's an issue and you think you're doing that, then it's probably better not to do that at that moment. But if you're, you know, worshiping the Lord and thanking him for what he's about to do and you do know how to switch that off and get in receiving mode, I think that that could be okay. If you're new at it and you don't know how to, I probably wouldn't in that way.
All right, Miss Chrissy asked, she said, is covering your mouth when the joy hits considered quenching the spirit?
It's not necessarily quenching the spirit, but it is slowing down. It's subconsciously slowing down the flow. And so you want to learn to not do that. And understand that the covering your mouth is not like a sin. It's just, it is generally something that we do because internally we're restricting that flow. So the covering of the mouth is the symptom of what we're actually thinking on the inside out of condemnation and shame of how we might look. And as soon as we go into shame or thinking how we might look, Now we're lining up with the flesh and against the spirit. So the spirit's wanting to go this way. We just went perpendicular and start restricting that flow. The issue is that we're paying attention more to the flesh than we are the flow of the spirit. The covering of the mouth is the symptom of that. So it's not the covering of the mouth is the issue. It's the attitude of the heart. So, amen. Good question.
Buddy put in the comments, he said, what do you do when you're at another church and they tell anyone to go and lay hands on anyone?
I don't do that. I don't do that. And I think you have to watch. Think about a lot of times when people do that. I will do it if I know that the minister is very, very mature and understands the flow of the spirit. Like if Brother Tracy told me to go do that because in a certain room, I would do that because he knows what he's talking about in that scenario. But what I've found is most places that'll tell you to go do that are not operating in the Holy Ghost. I will actually kind of separate myself from that position because I recognize that lack of maturity in the flow of the spirit. But the word actually says lay hands on no one suddenly, and it actually teaches us not to do that. And so I don't just do that. Now, I will say on the other side of that, there is a place of activating ministers where people have to realize you are a minister. You are called of God. But this is a calling to the world and to people that you are discipling, not just all of your peers all the time. You actually have a call to people that are unbelievers. You should learn how to lay hands on them and minister to them as the Lord leads. You have a call to disciples, like for example, in a life group. A life group leader should have the ability and be ready to lay hands and pray for the people that's in their life group. But the people that's in their life group shouldn't necessarily lay hands on the life group leader because their role is different. Let me just address this. Many people will have this saying, and it sounds good, that we're all even at the cross. The ground is level at the cross. Everybody is a sinner. And they're right, at the cross, it is level. Everybody's on the same playing field before they're born again. They're a sinner, and that's all that really matters at that point. But as soon as they get born again, there is rank structure beyond the cross. And so in the kingdom of God, he literally says, make it easy for those who are over you. You have overseers. The lesser is blessed by the greater. There is rank structure beyond that. And we need to understand and operate by those things and not just, treat them like they don't matter. God talked about them like they matter. And so because of that, they should matter to us. So I watched one time, I had a hero in the faith, a hero in the faith. And let me just say this real quick. So buddy, if you want to define that question even more, feel free to, because I answered a part of it. So if you've got another question, go ahead and put that in. But I had a hero of the faith, mighty, mighty man of God. Went to go see him, and he ministered, and the power of God was there. And then that whole leadership, this church, they said, like with pride, we don't have one leader as the head. Well, that's anti-word. That's against the word of God. God gives vision to a man. That's the way he's always done it. Then he draws people to that vision. He draws them to that. And they were like, we have multiple leaders here. And then they said, everybody, let's gather around this man of God and pray for him as he goes. You just canceled out all of the blessing that the people received unless they are super mature to know how to hold on to it. And I was sitting there, this was in my younger days as a pastor, but I was like cringing at this because I understand these principles. And it just bugged me so bad and bothered me. I have a friend of mine who travels in power. I mean, he travels and the power of God is released all over the place. And he'll go into ministries and he'll preach for pastors, and he's there to break the church loose because the pastor is not getting it done. And then the pastor will say, well, here, and now watch this, though. But because he's younger than many of the pastors, the pastor thinks that his age gives him superiority over this evangelist. And actually, the pastor's got it totally wrong this young evangelist is carrying more authority than that pastor is. And he'll actually tell him, he got to the place, he said, I stopped doing it. He said, the pastor will say, hey, let me pray for you before you go out. And he's like, I don't need you to pray for me. No, no. And you don't realize what's happening at that moment. That's like taking a private and the private telling the sergeant, hey, sergeant, let me tell you what you need to do to go out here on this. So, no, that's not the way that it works. And it's wrong to do that. That would be like an enlisted person trying to tell an officer what to do. It doesn't work that way. No, he's here to break you through. You just are too prideful to see that. And so, anyway, a lot of times people, they have the wrong idea about these things and they don't realize they're restricting the flow. And a pastor that would try to do that is not going to be able to receive anything from that minister in that way. So you have to be mindful of these things, especially to keep that flow of God there and not throw up any restrictions. So, all right, amen.
Andrew had asked, is it okay to pray in the Spirit while I'm at work?
Absolutely, yes, sir. Yeah, you should pray in the Spirit at work all the time. Paul says this, he says, don't cease praying, which means you probably need to pray in the Holy Ghost a lot. So yes, sir, that's a great thing to do, okay?
Courtney had asked, is it appropriate to pray in tongues if nobody else is?
It depends on where you are and what you're doing. There's scenarios where that answer would be yes and scenarios where it would be no. But I will say this, like if I'm just in, you know, on a bus or something, you know, I'm out in public. I pray in tongues all the time. Now I don't scare people with tongues, you know. I'm not, you know, sitting over there in the corner, you know, praying in tongues out loud so everybody hears me, and it's going to confuse them. But I'll pray. I'll still pray. It's out loud, but it's very low, kind of under my breath. I'm doing that all the time. Now, if you ride with me in the car and you're a part of the ministry, you're going to hear me praying in tongues a lot throughout time, because when I just come to a pause, I have a habit of just starting to pray in tongues and praying in the Spirit. I'm praying in the Spirit all the time. And I seek to do it more and more and more than I even have so far. So yeah, if you're like, now, if Courtney, if you're like in a church and nobody's praying in tongues, at like when it's a time to give, sure, you can pray in the Spirit. That's no problem. Now, if you're in a church that doesn't believe in that, they're likely to throw you out. But you can pray in the Holy Ghost, and you should. And the church actually should be. I wouldn't be a part of a church that doesn't allow praying in tongues, honestly, because they're being rebellious against what the will of God is, according to Ephesians 5. So Ephesians 5 said, this is the will of the Lord. And then he tells you, be filled with Spirit, praying and singing in the Spirit. So that's a part of it. I wouldn't be there unless it was like a special service where we were honoring somebody that they went to that church, like a funeral or a wedding or something like that. Other than that, I'm not going to be there. So, all right, amen, unless the Lord tells me to.
All right, next question. Hannah had asked, if we've been in a scenario where we didn't say no to a prayer that we shouldn't have received, what should we do?
Read that one more time.
She said, if we've been in a scenario where we did not say no to a prayer, so we didn't, I think what she's saying is we didn't reject a prayer that we should not have received, what should we do?
Well, if you find yourself in that scenario, just say, and you know it by the Holy Ghost, I would just pray, Lord, I reject every part of that ungodly prayer. I don't receive any part of it. That was not my intention. And thank you for protecting me and covering me in that way. That I will just, if I'm in a service and, like, let's say somebody speaks something ungodly from the pulpit, I will literally stop and out loud, not to embarrass them, if you know, but I'll say, I don't receive that. I don't, under my breath, I'll say, Lord, I receive no part of that. I reject that. You know, like if a preacher got up and he said, well, You always got to worry. I'll literally speak out loud, because I'm not just going to sit there silent, because our faith is released. So I need faith to block what he just said. So I'll say it out loud. I'll say, Lord, I don't receive that. I don't have to worry. Be anxious for nothing. Thank you. You know, so I will just come against that, and I will basically reject it with my words. So, yep.
Amen. Good question. Next question. Corey had said, I was in a meeting recently and the evangelist had people stand up for some prayer for healing. He then asked people near them to lay hands and pray for them. Since you're praying for people at the leader's direction and they ask for prayer, is it okay?
It can be if the person knows what they're talking about. I'm not a fan of that type of prayer because I don't know what's going on in that person's life, and I think that leader doesn't know what's going on in that person's life either. You can have people that are dealing with depression and dealing with pornography and dealing with all kinds of stuff, and they're sitting there, now they're laying hands on and praying for them for healing. Now, God is merciful, praise the Lord. God is so merciful, but I'm not a big fan of that type of prayer because you don't know everything that's going on in their life, and that person is now praying to impart something into that person. And I think it's a way that actually can muddy the water spiritually, and I'm not a big fan of that prayer. So generally, if you see me do that, you're going to know that God told me to do that, because I'm never doing that without God saying that, because I don't like that type of prayer. But I have had moments, where the leader said to do that, they're in authority, and I trust them, and I'll actually do that, and I'll go, and I will do what they say in that moment, but I always seek the Lord. In that scenario, I always seek the Lord on that. Lord, do you want me to participate in this? And I don't want a bunch of people putting hands on me. Understand this. Listen, to walk a walk and a ministry and a work of miracles and walk in the power of God, there's a holiness that accompanies that. And it has been tough enough on my flesh to get to that place and stay in that place by itself. I don't need other people's problems coming in and making it harder. So I protect those things and I keep those things. And I have a response, like in my position, I have a responsibility to carry that for the people that I'm ministering to or will minister to. And so some young, immature, doesn't know what they're talking about person that says, hey, everybody pray for everybody. Like that's, like, just because you're immature doesn't mean I have to go with that in that way. And so I won't make a scene, but I'll just excuse myself. I'll go to the bathroom or whatever, but I'm just not going to participate in that. In the majority of cases, when it's not somebody that doesn't know what they're doing. I'll give you an example. I was in... let me give you a point blank example. I was in a great meeting. Power of God was there. The glory of God was there. One of the strongest I've felt in a long time. This particular minister called, and he was operating under an authority that I trust. But this particular minister called for all the people to go and lay hands on other people, right, and pray for them. As soon as he did it, I cringed in my spirit. Now watch this. As soon as he did it, I was like, Lord, I don't think I'm supposed to walk out. I don't think I'm supposed to make a scene here. I don't like that. I don't think it's right. Yet, it is under an authority that I do think is right. And so I said, what do you want me to do? He said, just stay. And he said, anything that's not of me, reject it, right? Now watch this. Watch this. I was already having a move of God by myself because the Holy Spirit was already flowing there. I was having a major move of God inside of me without anybody praying over me. I didn't need anybody to lay hands on me. God was already touching me. I was already having an interaction with God. This actually stopped it, right? That praying for people in that way actually stopped the flow of what I did have going on. And I was irritated about that because I was having a major moment with God. But what I want you to see is this. I had people walk up to me and I was having such a move of God and it was so strong and so powerful. I literally sensed the people around me. I could tell where people were. And I know some people came up and they started to put hands on them, and the Holy Ghost told them not to, and they backed off, right? And they, why? Because God was already flowing in me. And there are a couple of people that were my elders in the Spirit, and they laid hands on me, and it was good. And then there was somebody that came, and they were not an elder, they were not a peer, and I knew that they were operating in pride. I had a knowing of things in the Spirit so strong and so powerful, I knew all of this instantly. They came up and they put hands on me, and the instant that they did, it was like exclamation points went off in my spirit. It was so wrong, it was so bad, and they should have not ever touched me in that moment. And they should have known better, but their pride hid that. And it was so obvious. It was so obvious. It was like screeching on the chalkboard compared to what the Lord was doing. Everything was okay, but this one person came up. And so I knew it instantly. And I knew who it was. I knew what they did. I knew it was wrong. They should have never done that. And instantly, but I said, Lord, I just reject that. I stay in the flow with you, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for what you're pouring out. And so here's something to see, and this is an intricacy of flowing in the Holy Ghost, is an intricacy of this is that many times when the actual move of the Holy Spirit starts to happen, people are shocked by it and they don't know what to do. And so they'll actually, this is when they'll say, okay, and in their thought process, I don't know what to do, so I want to engage everybody. I want to still be like in charge, and I still want to be, showing that I know what's going on, so let me give it a command. All right, everybody pray for everybody, and this will engage everybody, and it's logic. And actually, in that moment, what should have happened, in my opinion, is that you should have just left it there. Let people get into it that would yield to it and get in the flow. And if they wouldn't, they don't. That's up to them. But right now, the glory was already flowing. The power of God was already flowing. Leave it alone and let God work. So a lot of times, people don't realize my job is to come up and minister to the Lord and minister for the Lord. But when he starts moving, I need to back up out of the way and let him be God. And that's where many leaders miss that. They don't know when to back up. They feel like they've got to do something. And it's their pride and their inexperience instead of trying to make something happen. Remember, our job is get the flow going, let the flow happen, and then leave it alone. Let him flow. And that's when you're leading ministry, that's one of the things you want to recognize is when you're supposed to help administrate that and when you're supposed to back away from it. In this case, I think it would have been to back away from that and just let God move because he was already flowing and it was already working. This actually interrupted that and cut it short instead of letting it continue to flow. So anyway, amen.
Put in a question. He said, same question as Corey. So still talking about having other people lay hands on other people in the congregation. He said, but it was a lineup of deaf or hard of hearing people, and there was another line where we put our fingers in their ears, and he, the evangelist, prayed for them.
Yeah. Hey. the Lord can orchestrate things that sometimes we don't get or understand, and I've seen that many times, and they work. Whether it was God or not, I don't know. I'd have to be there to discern that and see that. But you want to just be, if you're in a meeting and you trust the minister, then you can flow with them in that way. If you don't know them, then I would be more hesitant to do those things. But I'm not a big fan of that a lot. Now, sometimes it can be... just think about this. Who you are is what is imparted. What you're carrying is what is imparted. And you want to make sure that you're clean. I work at staying holy and clean so that I'm not imparting the wrong things to the people that I minister to and pray for. But you don't, most people in the church are not at that place. And so I don't want people, as a leader, I don't want anybody putting hands on somebody else. But at the same time, any believer is in a better position than an unbeliever. So they can go and minister to somebody that's out in the world, and they should be doing that. They should be growing in that ability, but they should also be growing in their holiness as they go as well. So, amen. I hope that helps you. Is there any more questions?
No, sir. That's all of them.
Praise God. Has this been a help to you today? Have you learned anything? Has it helped to reveal how to do that? I think tomorrow we will talk about do I fall out or not? You know, what is this slain in the spirit? Do I fall out? How do I handle that? And so we'll talk more about that. It goes right in line with this. And we love you so very much. Father, right now, so, all right, I'm going to pray for you. Here's a good time to apply what we just talked about. Yield quickly, believe in the messenger. It's time to receive, not give. Be in expectation to receive big. This prayer right here can change everything and will change everything. Don't cover up the work or the conviction of the Holy Ghost. So right now, just receive. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Let me just tell you something. All right, stop receiving for a second and just listen to me. As a minister, I can sense, and you'll hear experienced ministers talk about this, you can sense when there's a flow through you, right? You can sense that many times. I'm not saying all the time, but many times. But sometimes you can sense when it's bigger or when it's greater. As soon as I started praying right there, I felt a great flow of grace go through me. Bigger than I feel most of the time, than I sense most of the time. So just this one teaching and you lining that up right there, I'm telling you, there was a bigger flow that just went into everybody that's listening. I could sense it as soon as I started praying. You might could sense it. If you could sense it yourself, you know, you can say, man, I sensed it. Something, it was a bigger flow into me. You can put a testimony in. But let's go back. All right, now let's receive again right now. Father, thank you. Lord, we just receive everything that you have for us. Lord, thank you for the flow of the Holy Ghost, your anointing, your glory, the manifestation and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Lord, meet people where they are right now. Heal them, deliver them, protect them, prosper them. Thank you, Father. Save them from whatever it is that they need saving from. Lord, restore them now. Let restoration come now. Even things that are missed, I just sense some people going, oh my goodness, how much stuff have I missed? Lord, I'm so sorry that I missed that and I wasn't yielded and I wasn't receiving. Lord, right now, even the things that they've missed because of a lack of revelation, let restoration come to them now. Let there be a full flow even of things that they've missed. Lord, restore and redeem the time in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for the yieldedness of your people and your willingness to meet them at that place. Lord, pour out your anointing and your grace in their lives in Jesus' name. Supernatural breakthrough in their finances. Supernatural healing now in their bodies in Jesus' name. Supernatural restoration. Father, right now I see things popping open. I see where there's been blockades in their mind, Lord, remove that blockade. And you can just say this. You can say, Lord, I receive the removal of blockades in my life. I receive it. I have it now. I'll see, that's you receiving. That's a part of you receiving. So if in any time when you're receiving a message preached or prayer, you can say, Lord, I receive that. I receive that. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for removing the blockades in their body. I see not just blockades in the mind, but I see blockades in their body physically. Veins, arteries, hearing, eyes, passageways, lungs. Lord, remove the blockades now in Jesus' name. Whew. Remove, Lord, the blockades of favor in Jesus' name. Remove those blockades now in Jesus' name. We thank you. We praise you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I love you so much. We'll see you tomorrow. And here's William to wrap it up.
Amen. If you guys have leading to sow today, we sow this broadcast into you guys freely. You are under no obligation to give whatsoever. But if the Lord's leading you and putting it on your heart to sow today, here's the lovely lower third that details all the different ways that we have available for you guys to give. We have Cash App, PayPal, Venmo, Text to Give. If you want all of those in one easy place, you can go to givewww.org or scan the QR code on your screen. And as you guys are sowing today, we just want to pray a blessing over the seed. So right now, Father, thank you for the opportunity to sow. Thank you for good soil that we get to sow into through this broadcast. Thank you that every seed sown today is pressed down, shaken together, and running over, returning to the sower in Jesus' name. An abundant harvest in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, guys, as we finish up the broadcast today, I've got a couple announcements for you. I like doing these in chronological order, and they're a little bit off on my sheet, so I'm going to try to do this right. Coming up, the soonest of all of my announcements, is 6 a.m. prayer. We started our 6 a.m. Frontlines prayer broadcast just about 2.5 weeks ago. We have prayer every single morning at 6 a.m., and now it's on the Brian Wright YouTube channel, the exact same place that you guys are right now. We have a live broadcast of prayer every day, Monday through Friday, I should say, Monday through Friday, just weekdays. But if you guys want to be a part of that, you can just stay where you are right here. Hit the subscribe button, should be down under here on your screen, and hit the notification bell to get notified when we go live. It has been a phenomenal time of prayer. I've really enjoyed it. It's been a blessing to be a part of, and I really hope to see you guys there. Next, after that, we have our financial breakthrough meetings with Brother Eddie Smith, May 4th through the 7th. It's a Sunday p.m., so we're going to still have Sunday morning service like usual, but then a Sunday night and then Monday through Wednesday. So that'll be both on Lunch Plus and during the p.m. So if you guys would like to, I'm asking you to, please, if you're wanting to come to that, go to the QR code, scan the QR code on your screen, go to boomerangchurch.org/breakthrough and register for that so we know how many of you guys are coming, and that way we can prepare accordingly and be prepped for as many of you guys as are going to come. But after that, coming up in just a few short months, and when I say a few short months, I mean very short. This is going to be on us before we know it. We have our 2025 partner camp meeting here at Boomerang Church. That's going to be August 6th through the 8th. You can, again, scan the QR code on your screen or go to whatsright.com/campmeeting to register and let us know that you guys are coming. Because like I said, it's important that you guys register because that way we know how many people are coming. If we have like 400 people coming and we don't know about it, we're going to have some logistical things that probably need to get handled that we want to do a little bit differently if we're going to have a bunch of people. And we're expecting an overflow of not just people coming, but an overflow of the anointing and an awesome, awesome set of meetings. Amen. Well, that's all the announcements that I have for you guys today. Tune in tomorrow again, 12 o'clock noon, just like always, on the Brian Wright YouTube channel for another episode of Lunch Plus. Go have an awesome, awesome rest of your day and be expecting to receive big from the Lord as you go about your day. Love you guys. Bye. Never, 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 never